You're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we will hear from Cindy Duran, the Democrat and Deputy Minority Leader of the Rensselaer County Legislature, who is calling for Republican County Executive Steve McLaughlin to resign after his arrest last week for campaign finance violations. We will also hear national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Network, network, on air, in air, waves. Controlled on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Melanie Lukosovic is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media that a state analysis of the gritty dusting found in the Magnolia Circle area of the village of Ravenna has determined the substance was salt, according to a determination released December 6th by the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Residents' complaints started coming into the DEC on November 5th. The substance was found in the community, coating homes and vehicles, around October 31st, according to a letter from the DEC Regional Director Anthony Luisi. Quote, DEC staff determined that the sample consisted of salt, unquote, Luisi said. The source of the dusting remains unknown. Quote, our investigation into potential sources is ongoing, unquote, according to a letter from Luisi to Mayor Bill Misuraca. The mayor said on social media that if any more of the dust is found, residents should submit their information to Regional Air Pollution Control Engineer Benjamin Potter via email at benjamin.potter@dec.ny.gov or by phone at 518-357-2345. The DEC will send a professional to the site to collect a sample. The substance was found by numerous residents and is said to be difficult to wash off, Deputy Mayor Nancy Warner said last month. Quote, people have said it sticks right to the paint on their cars and trucks and it can't be washed off easily, if at all. People said they have turned on their windshield washes and it just smears, unquote. The Lafarge Cement Plant released a statement regarding the material in November. Quote, we are aware of the complaints regarding fugitive dust on private property in the Ravenna area, and we have been in ongoing discussions with the State Department of Environmental Conservation about this matter, unquote, Lafarge said in a statement. The DEC's investigation into the origin of the salt dusting is ongoing. Read more about this story in the Ravenna News Herald.
Adam Brewster and Graham Cates report for CBS News that New York Attorney General Letitia James announced December 9th that she is suspending her campaign to be the nation's first black woman governor. Instead, she will attempt to win another term as Attorney General. James said in a statement, and I quote, I have come to the conclusion that I must continue my work as Attorney General. There are a number of important investigations and cases that are underway, and I intend to finish the job. I am running for re-election to complete the work New Yorkers elected me to do, end quote. The Washington Post reported earlier in the day that James wanted a deposition from former President Donald Trump on January 7th as part of her investigation into whether Trump's company committed financial fraud. The Trump Organization has not commented so far on whether Trump is cooperating, but the company said the investigation is, and I quote, another political witch hunt, end quote. She also drops out of the race as a Siena College poll released on December 7th showed James trailing current Governor Kathy Hochul, with Hochul at 36% to 18% backing James, with New York City public advocate Jamani Williams at 10% and Congressperson Tom Suozzi and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio at 6%. Read more about this story at CBS News.
Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper that the Ichabod Crane Board of Education recessed its December 7th meeting early after certain audience members chose to speak without permission and then shouted at board members. The board reconvened the meeting later the same night with an abbreviated agenda and a small number of audience members. Approximately 50 people attended the in-person meeting in the primary school cafeteria, and everyone was asked to wear a mask. The meeting was also live-streamed, and roughly 35 people were watching. Only 3 people signed up to speak. During the public comment period, people came to the podium to speak, but were told they were required to sign up to be recognized. Those people said they had the right to speak at a public meeting, and one person began to comment. At that point, board members stood to leave the room, and board president Matthew Nelson recessed the meeting. 30 minutes into the meeting, the live stream was stopped, and a message appeared on screen saying, quote, meeting delayed, unquote. Under Ichabod Crane Board of Education policy, anyone wishing to address the board during the public participation portion of the meeting is instructed to sign in with the district clerk. Those wishing to speak must first be recognized by the president, then identify themselves, their organization, and the topic they wish to discuss. When the board reconvened, it tabled the academic reports and postponed committee meeting discussions. Board members did hear a report from the superintendent on enrollment, as well as the health and safety updates. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Bernadette Hogan, Carl Campanile, and Ben Kesslin report in the New York Post that SUNY Chancellor James Malatros resigned December 9th after several politicians and groups called for his resignation for smearing one of the women alleging sexual harassment by ex-Governor Andrew Cuomo. On December 8th, more than 30 assembly members signed onto a letter calling for his resignation or firing. Malatros wrote in a letter to SUNY Board of Trustees Chairman Merrill Tisch, and I quote, The recent events surrounding me over the past week have become a distraction over the important work that needs to be accomplished as SUNY emerges from COVID-19. I believe deeply in an individual's ability to evolve, change, and grow, but I also believe deeply in SUNY and would never want to be an impediment to its success. Therefore, please accept my resignation effective January 14, 2022, as SUNY's chancellor. End quote. An anonymous source claims Governor Kathy Hochul called SUNY Board Chairman Merrill Tisch December 8th, saying the situation, and I quote, was untenable and not good for SUNY, end quote, according to the source. An audio recording released by the Albany Times Union earlier this week included Malatras berating a staffer, also contributed to the calls for his resignation. Malatras was appointed by former Governor Cuomo after working as an official on Cuomo's COVID-19 task force. An anonymous higher education source told the newspaper, and I quote, the audio showed there was a pattern of mistreating staff. There will be a demand with SUNY from faculty and students for the Board of Trustees to conduct a national search to find a new chancellor, which was bypassed to appoint Malatras last year at Cuomo's behest, end quote. Read more about this story in the New York Post.
Nick Reisman is reporting for New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul is being urged to sign 10 measures intended to protect the environment, including water in schools and curtailing spills on public roadways as 2021 draws to a close. The advocacy group Environmental Advocates New York, December 8th, released a year-end list of bills still under consideration, including efforts to address climate change through promoting electric vehicles and reducing the prevalence of single-use plastic bottles. The group is backing legislation that would ban the use of pesticides on playgrounds, turf, and playing fields at children's overnight camps and improve pesticide reporting in the state as well. A bill meant to ban the spread of liquid oil and gas waste on roadways is also under consideration, as is banning the use of chemical fire retardants in some consumer goods. The group is also seeking the final approval of measures to build out the state's electric vehicle charging infrastructure and a bill meant to promote soil health and research practices. Quote, Kate Carrera, Deputy Director of Environmental Advocates New York, said, quote, we urge the governor to sign these common sense bills as soon as they hit her desk, unquote. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Natasha Von Holdridge reports for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Sheriff's Office claimed December 8th that a COVID-19 outbreak at Columbia County Jail is under control. Five corrections officers and seven incarcerated people there contracted coronavirus recently. Columbia County Health Department Director Jack Mabb said, and I quote, we've had a few positives there before, but I think by the numbers, this is the biggest. We get a few inmates, and then they would isolate successfully, ride it out, and then we would get a couple of COs here and there. But in both cases, the numbers are the highest we've had, end quote. Captain Patrick Delaney, the jail's chief corrections officer, said everything is just fine now, but did not say why. Delaney said on Wednesday, and I quote, yes, I think it's contained. No one knows what's going to happen with COVID, but we've been lucky. And we follow the protocols set forth by the commission and the health department and do what they say, end quote. Mabb and Columbia County Sheriff David Bartlett both said they did not know the vaccination status of the individuals who tested positive. Bartlett, who lost his reelection campaign, was also vague, saying the facility does everything correctly, even with so many new cases. Bartlett said, and I quote, we have a very strict COVID protocol that we started right at the beginning of COVID, working with the state and working with the county Department of Health, and it's really kept it out of our facility, end quote. Currently, the 9.4% seven-day average positivity rate in Columbia County is more than double the 4.9% statewide average, according to data from the State Department of Health. Columbia County Emergency Management Director David W. Harrison Jr. earlier this week said his department is recommending, but not mandating, mask wearing indoors. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Chris Bragg reports in the Times Union that New York's Working Families Party has added several ethical queries to their candidate questionnaires this year, after all sorts of scandals in Albany. Quote, it is about your platform and your policy positions, and it's also about whether or not you're a leader that your community can be proud of, or whether you're someone that's going to mire us in crisis, unquote. Soshi Nameka, the state director of the New York Working Families Party, said, quote, unethical, closed-door, retaliatory governing is bad for New Yorkers, unquote. Governor Andrew Cuomo, who took several efforts against the Working Families Party during his tenure in office, resigned this summer after a number of sexual harassment allegations and other reports of ethical lapses. The party's candidate questionnaire says that Cuomo has, quote, indicated he may use his $18 million campaign war chest to attack those who voiced opposition to him, unquote. Then asked candidates if they'll support an assembly bill that prohibits an elected official convicted of a crime committed in office, impeached or convicted, or who resigns while subject of an impeachment inquiry from using a campaign account for any political purpose. There was an impeachment inquiry into Cuomo when he resigned. But Cuomo's spokesperson denies that the former governor ever threatened his political enemies in this way. The story that Cuomo would use his campaign funds in retaliation against political enemies was only reported by Politico. Quote, if anyone wants to change the law going forward, that's their prerogative. But the premise of their question is a lie, as we've never said or indicated anything like that. We can't help if we continue to take up valuable real estate in people's heads, unquote, Cuomo's longtime spokesperson, Rich Azzapardi, said on December 9th. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 43 degrees. Rain is likely on Friday night after 4 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 33 degrees. And on Saturday, rain is likely before 7 a.m., then showers between 7 a.m. and 1 p.m., then showers and possibly a thunderstorm after 1 p.m. with a temperature high near 60 degrees. And Saturday night, showers are likely mainly before 10 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 33 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices on the air on 90.7 FM on Friday, December 10th. Including at 10 a.m., it's time for the Global Agogo Show, tracing music from around the world until noon, when Jared Wiggishud is in after the local news with the Sugar Shack Jukebox for 2 hours of brand new music of all types, and old music, too, he plays. At 2 p.m., the Data Cult Audio Show is on. Then we have new music at 3 p.m. with the New Music Review Show. At 6 p.m., we head to Main Street in Catskill for Clubhouse Radio, where teens talk about what they've been listening to and the songs they are currently playing, and they'll play them for you. At 7 p.m., we hear from Hudson teens who are talking about what they've been reading on the Bound by Books show that is put together with the assistance of the Hudson Area Library. And then at 10 p.m. tonight, DJ Var is live in Hudson, in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church, where WGXC has a studio, with the Friday Night Vibe session, playing all sorts of reggae, dancehall, pop, hip-hop, and more on the air at 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
There's gonna be a battle royal between Father Christmas and Santa Claus.
WGXC is broadcasting again live music shows at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. And tune in for a live webcast Sunday, December 19th at 7:30 p.m. from the Avalon Lounge for Brian Dewan's annual Christmas show. That's Catskill artist Brian DeWan performing live Sunday, December 19th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill at 7:30 p.m. till 9 and on a live webcast at WGXC.org.
Santa Claus says, ho, ho, ho. Father Christmas glowers and frowns. He takes his staff and takes a swing. And Boney says, put up your dukes. And then he takes that golden crook and hooks it around Santa's arm.
I'm Cheryl Kay, host of the Jazz Disturbance on WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The Jazz Disturbance features jazz and other improvised music. Tune in on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wave Farm Radio app on your smartphone. Playlists are posted at facebook.com/CKDisturbance.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, December 10th. Early morning lows range from 27 degrees in Willowamock to 32 in Buckleyville. Things warm up a bit, reaching 44 by 2 p.m. Winds will have the day in cold territory. Bring those winter coats even if you're in a car. Overnight, temperatures fall to 33 degrees around midnight. Not long after, things start to warm up and get wet. Rain is expected all day Saturday. We get into the 40s by late morning, 50s in the afternoon, and a high of 58 happens at 7 p.m. Strong wind gusts are expected. If it blew around your yard last week, lock it down now. The rain will stop a bit after midnight as temperatures plummet to 37 degrees for a low Sunday morning. Winds stick around till about 1 p.m., which will see the daily high of 44 degrees. Monday is looking dry with a high of 50. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:04 a.m., high tide at 8:03 a.m., low tide again at 2:23 p.m., and high tide again at 8:18 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 39 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:10 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:09 a.m. Looking way up, we see a major production going on this weekend. On Sunday night, especially with the low cloud cover, we have the opportunity to see Ceres, Uranus, Neptune, Pallas, Jupiter, Saturn, and Venus in a nice, neat chorus line. On top of that, anyone staying up late enough or getting up early enough on Monday, Comet Leonard, which already has a magnitude of 5, making it visible to the naked eye, will make its closest pass. Solar wind speed is currently 317 kilometers per second at 6.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair for daytime up to 15 megahertz and fair across the board for nighttime transmissions. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1, quiet. There have been 2 days since the last sunspot, and this has been the better weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
The cosmic ballet goes on.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Asia of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Mm-hmm. recollection, awareness of breathing, pause of the heart, pause of time, pause of numbers, solitude and company, remembering restraint. Storm came twice. Storm came twice today. In honor of my mother, I am born again. The awareness of heart, time, and the company of memory. We'll be right back.
hard. Blues as religion, sundown blues, shooting star blues, blues explosion, prescription for blues, blues. Star blackness, blackness explosion.
That was Storm Came Twice from Irreversible Entanglements and their 2021 album Open the Gates. Irreversible Entanglements includes singer Kamal Awaya, saxophonist Keir Nurvinger, who also plays synth and percussion, Achilles Navarro on trumpet, Luke Stort on the double bass, and Jesser Holmes on drums.
Welcome to 2021 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
As President Biden recognized, these are key documents that the Congress should have, and they should have them right now.
Douglas Letter, general counsel for the U.S. House, argued when it comes to claims of executive privilege, the judgment of the current president should outweigh any predecessors. A federal appeals court agreed, saying there is a unique legislative need for the January 6th committee to see former President Donald Trump's notes, diaries, and other documents, and ruled against Trump's motion to suppress them. Meanwhile, the House approved a bill to establish new limits on executive branch power. Tennessee Democrat Stephen Cohen said the Protecting Our Democracy Act would curb abuses of power tested by Trump.
The president tried to use the pardon power to take care of people who took care of him to shut them up so they wouldn't testify against him. Roger Stone, Mike Flynn, you name it.
Florida Republican Byron Donalds accused Democrats of obsessing over Trump.
It is without question what a successful administration looks like, one that actually always followed the law, was in constant standing with the law, as opposed to an administration who issues mandates that are unconstitutional, that the federal courts, as we speak, are undermining every single day.
The bill would limit pardons, require presidential candidates to submit personal tax returns, and ban foreign contributions to ballot measures. A federal judge decided not to block a lawsuit challenging parts of Georgia's new election law, including limits on the use of ballot drop boxes and photo ID requirements for absentee voting, which opponents argue are discriminatory. Republicans contend the measures are needed to increase election security. The Senate passed a bill empowering Democrats to raise the debt limit on their own. Once signed into law, the measure would allow the borrowing limit to be raised with a simple majority vote, instead of facing the usual 60-vote hurdle to move legislation forward. Former Senator Bob Dole lies in state at the U.S. Capitol after passing away Sunday at the age of 98. During a short ceremony, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer paid tribute to his former colleague, who was struck by enemy fire during World War II.
By 21, Bob had given more of himself than most of us give in a lifetime. And then he kept going for 77 years after that. And my God, it was 77 years well spent.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell commended Dole's advocacy for people with disabilities and noted his White House aspirations.
Bob was the last of the greatest generation to run for president. But he was never stuck in the past. His roots ran deep. But he was always looking to new horizons.
President Joe Biden will deliver a eulogy at Dole's memorial service today at Washington National Cathedral. For Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman. Find our eight trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy online at publicnewsservice.org.
It was Christmas Eve night at the poorhouse, and all of the paupers were there. I stepped in because it was snowing, and snow always screws up my hair. But a pot-bellied stove
sat a pot-bellied man. He spoke with some lumps in his throat. His story was sad, and his diction was bad. And here is the song that he wrote.
I once was the jolliest fat man, with roses in all of my cheeks. I'd load up my sled every Christmas and go on a drunk for 2 weeks.
My friends said they saw me on rooftops and sliding down chimneys at dawn. With my reindeer in hand, I would glide across the land and wake up on somebody's lawn.
One morning my wife left this message. Each Christmas I've spent by myself. I'm sick of your stupid traditions, so I've run off to Spain with an elf.
Just then the old man started dying. He screamed, "May the Lord take my soul." We went through his wallet to see who he was. His address read simply,
North Pole.
So the next time you go by the poorhouse, if by the poorhouse you go,
just take off your hat to a dead guy who's fat and whisper a silent ho, ho.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
I turned it down.
But only dogs can hear.
I turned it down. Do it.
Did you hear that?
No.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Cindy Doran from Troy, who is the Deputy Minority Leader of the Rensselaer County Legislature. And as our listeners know, recently the Rensselaer County Executive, Steve McLaughlin, was indicted for campaign fraud, and Cindy and I believe one of the other county legislators have put out a call for Mr. McLaughlin to resign. You know, Cindy, what spurred you to take that action?
Well, I do believe, first of all, thank you, Mark, so much for having me on the show, and I'm pleased to be able to get the message out that doesn't always get out via the media, that we in the legislature, the minority legislature, are tired of the antics that we have watched with Steve McLaughlin as leader and Rich Crist as co-leaders, in a sense, and other operatives who have been hired to do the dirty work of the Republican Party. So when we found out that County Executive McLaughlin had been arrested and arraigned, we were not surprised, and we knew that it was time for us to take a stand. And so Minority Leader Peter Grimm and I decided to do a resolution to call for his resignation, call for Steve's resignation. The press had been after us to make a statement, so we knew that our the time was then. And it's very unfortunate that no other Democratic elected leaders or Democrats have actually spoken out against Steve I shouldn't say Democrats, because last night we had a public forum of the legislature, and a number of residents came and spoke out asking for his resignation for many reasons.
I assume that Ms. McLaughlin hasn't responded positively yet to the call for his resignation?
I don't believe he's responded at all, Mark. From what I understand, he is not around. And Rich Crist, his partner in crime, so to speak, is not around. I did not see them yesterday during our committee meetings, which would be all afternoon, and at the public forum last night. So no, he has not responded that I know of.
Now, one of the things I find a little bit odd, this is a second election in a row where basically charges or convictions related to Steve McLaughlin emerged after the election was over. 4 years ago, the assembly for a second time had censured Ms. McLaughlin for sexual harassment, but that second censure was not released until a few weeks after the election. And in this case, even though the other sort of person in this investigation was arrested maybe 18 months ago for campaign fraud, his former chief of staff in the assembly, for whatever reason, the prosecutor attorney general didn't actually move on this most recent charge until after the election, even though they had previously convicted or arrested the former staff person. And in both cases, they seemed to be Democrats. Do you have any idea why they seem to be somewhat protecting Ms. McLaughlin from allowing the public to know some of the things he's being charged with?
I wish I knew, Mark. I really do, because there are other incidents that we have in the Democrats have reported to the media, the Times Union, like serious issues that were going on in the county, and they were not reported. Mr. McLaughlin, as county executive, is behind what went on with voter suppression and in the city of Troy, or in the county, if you will. And when Majority Leader Grimm and I put out a press release asking for the Board of Election Commissioners, both Democrat and Republican, to step down and resign, because once again, the Attorney General had been involved in the issues of politics, so to speak, in Rensselaer County, and these commissioners were found guilty of denying voters the right to vote in Troy, no reporting. Now, when you mentioned the sanction by the assembly, I recall thinking back then 4 years ago that could it be that the assembly wanted to get rid of Mr. McLaughlin and Rensselaer County would be the one who would take over with this man, because he was, as you know, he is constantly criticizing the governor. And in fact, he was the one who put out a statement asking for Governor Cuomo to resign immediately after the investigation by the Attorney General just recently. So why now is our county executive not doing the same? All of the evidence pointing to his arrest and arraignment have ruined the public's trust in him. And it's time for us to get on in the county and do the business of the people. I wish I knew why the media was protecting him.
Now, if Ms. McLaughlin, as you know, county executive, eventually is forced to resign, particularly if I think it has to be a conviction for a felony, but obviously it can be part of a plea deal. Apparently the deputy county executive assumes his place. At this point, as a longtime budget director, and there has been discussion that she may be replaced shortly by a gentleman named Jim Gordon. Does the county legislature at this point have any role in approving whoever gets, appointed to the position of deputy county executive, or is that entirely the decision of Mr. McLaughlin?
Ironically, I was talking with the minority leader yesterday about that. I said, once again, we have a question, a serious question that needs answering, and we do not have an attorney. The majority has denied us an attorney since I began in 2013 in the legislature. And therefore, we are supposed to rely upon their attorneys to answer our questions. Often I would I try to find someone I know who might have the answer, who would give me an impartial answer about that. I don't believe the county charter is clear on whether the legislature has a role in approving. And so I was thinking back when the budget director was also appointed as the deputy executive. I don't recall voting on that. So it could very well be that this appointment of Jim Gordon could go through without us even knowing about it.
Right. So we only have two minutes left. I want to try to get another question in. So, you know, Democrats didn't have exactly a great election this cycle. Obviously, a lot of friction in the city of Troy, where both you and Mr. Grimm were not, you know, supported by the, you know, I guess the party Democrats after resolution support of Black Lives Matter movement. Democrats have lost control of the city council and Troy. How does the party move forward after this election? Or how would you like to see them move forward?
How would I like to see the party move forward? If you, I'm going to take a stand because I like to believe that, you know, I'm honest and transparent in my response to these kinds of questions. We need new party leadership. I have yet to hear from a party leader about my win. I don't know how that's going to happen because you know that committee folks are the ones who elect party leaders. The committee folks were the ones supposedly who did not support Peter and me for reasons I have no idea. I believe petty politics. I believe it has to do with the Board of Election. I was very vocal about the fact that our Democratic commissioner was able to get his wife a very nice job in the DA's office. And this is during the time of voter suppression, during the time of when we were trying to get early voting in downtown Troy for residents who needed it. And we were told that Skodak and Brunswick would be perfect sites. So there's a lot there. And it sounds to me personal, not on my part. I was doing the job of the people who elected me. But how do we move forward with those same people in leadership? I don't know. As a former teacher, I do know that as a leader, you have to step in at times and you have to do the right thing. And I haven't seen that done.
We've been talking with Cindy Doran, Deputy Minority Leader of Rensselaer County Legislators, called for the resignation of Steve McLaughlin following his arrest. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile.
Mr. Grinch, you're the king of sinful thoughts. Your heart's a dead tomato splash with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce. You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super nauseous. You're a cockroach little jockey and you drive a crooked horse, Mr. Grinch. Your soul is an appalling dump heap overflowing with the worst kind of disgraceful assortment of rubbish imaginable. Mangled up in tangled up knots. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. Nasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your heart is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that describe you best are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. Jingling going on. Makes me feel merry. This is a song about a prize fight between Father Christmas and Santa Claus. And it's called Battle Royal. There's gonna be a battle royal between Father Christmas and Santa Claus. Everybody's gonna gather round to see who'll mow the other down. Father Christmas is thin and mean. Santa Claus is jolly and round. In opposite corners of the ring, one's gonna mow the other down. The referee lets out his cry, a ringing bell, a roaring crowd. Santa Claus says, ho, ho, ho. Father Christmas glowers and frowns. He takes his staff and takes a swing and boldly says, put up your dukes. And then he takes that golden crook and hooks it around Santa's arm and drags him across the boxing ring like you pull a flop off a vaudeville stage. But Santa throws a mittiny punch and hits FC in his bony jaw. Father Christmas retaliates by jamming his elbow in Santa's gut. Santa's eyes and rosy cheeks are all aglow with frenzied wrath. He kicks at FC's knobby knees to knock him off his center of gravity. The crowd is getting excited now. They're placing bets and taking sides and watching these Yuletide alpha apes, these crowing cocks of Christmas tide. Santa knocks off the bishop's hat from FC's head and steps his foot. Then FC pulls off Santa's belt and his big red pants go tumbling down. The crowd is roaring with delight. Santa's face is poinsettia red. Father Christmas moves in for the kill. Santa shields his tearful face, his broken glasses and pouting lips, then reaches in to his sack of toys and turns the crank on a jack-in-the-box. A jester's head on a powerful spring goes rocketing into Father Christmas's face, making him wail like a midnight train. He yanks on Santa Claus's beard.
Santa yanked his opponent's beard. The beards are making ripping sounds. Their boots are squeaking against the ground. Father Christmas is 8 feet tall. Santa Claus is 5'5". Father Christmas weighs 100 pounds. Santa weighs 350 pounds. Back in their corners with the spray and the towels, there's a bell, the second round. Christmas stocking, Christmas kick, flying robes, pivoting feet, fist jabs, hip checks, candy canes, uppercut, karate chop, flip flap, bim bam, crack a smack, fee-fi-fiddle, thump-plop. There's the bell, the final round. The crowd's gone wild and flailing around. Santa Claus is so big and fat, he crushes Father Christmas flat and waves him around like an American flag and mops up the floor with him and crumples him up and folds him into a paper plate and throws him out into the cheering crowd. The referee counts from 1 to 10. Santa's arms are in the air in a gesture of monkey victory. The undisputed Xmas champ. If you carry a crook and you're thin and mean, no one will root for you but Europeans. But if you're fat and you laugh a lot, people will back you and take your side, especially if you're in the business of distributing toys and good things to eat. They'll bet their money on your white-haired head and forget all about the recent past. The greatest story ever told of yesteryear on Christmas Eve. A battle royal was fought between Father Christmas and Santa Claus. Now, back in the early 60s, there was a puppet animated cartoon for television called Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, after the popular song by Johnny Marks, who I think wrote it in the 1940s. Well, he wrote all the rest of the songs for this cartoon, and this is a song called The Island of Misfit Toys. Yeah! And Rudolph and his crew land on the island of Misfit Toys, and they're greeted by a toy, by a jack-in-the-box at the island, and he says, "Hi! Welcome to Santa's Village! Welcome to the island of Misfit Toys! My name is, don't tell me, Jack! No! Charlie! My name is all wrong! No little girl wants to play with a Charlie in the box, so I had to come here!"